We're live here at Supermarket on this episode of Movies Ruin My Life, American Psycho. All right, so that's East.
Hey.
That's Nick.
Yo.
That's Paula.
Hello.
Devin is on the end. I'm Brandon. An American Psycho, ladies and gentlemen.
That's the one with Mila Kunis, right?
I hate you.
I can't believe you watched that piece of shit.
Oh, I saw that piece of shit.
It wasn't many. Why did you watch that piece of shit? You got better.
I watch everything.
True. Yeah, but it wasn't that bad.
Facebook tells me that there's a link between intelligence and watching bad movies, so that's what I'm going on.
Okay.
All right. Well. In addition to this being our American Psycho panel, it is also Paula and mine's baby shower. That is
very
poorly conjugated. Yeah. Perfect baby movie.
Yeah, exactly. Watch it with the kids.
Mm.
Perfect. It's a history lesson. It's the 1980s.
I watched it as a kid.
Yeah, I did too. Can we quickly do a round of first experience with this flick or book or what have you? You want to start with Devin?
Yeah, I don't know. my sister suggested the book, I think. Maybe it was before the movie, maybe it was after. To be honest, I'm not 100% sure. It's been quite a while. But, yeah, I don't know. Probably the book first, which I think really, I don't know, probably sours my perception of the movie.
Of the film?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
We had an interesting talk in the car right here. We'll get into it in a minute. Paul, your first experience with the flick?
I can't remember when the first time I saw it. I've seen it so many times.
All right.
Obviously liked it.
Enough to pick it for your baby shower movie?
Yeah, exactly. Perfect.
Awesome.
Blood stabbing.
Wonderful story.
It's a beautiful story.
Sir Nicholas?
When I watched this movie. It's been a while. I didn't rewatch it for this. So.
Thank you for being prepared for the panel.
Perfect.
Awesome.
It's
I've
good.
I've never seen it. I read about it on IMDb.
I did watch it on TV. It was there. Yeah, that was it. I just was.
You watched this film on TV?
You watched it on TBS, too. So.
Oh, man.
Nobody dies.
Nobody dies. It's just a happy ending. It's just a story about a businessman.
It was a story about a businessman and his quest for the perfect
shower routine.
Card.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay.
The quest for the burst of business card. That's it.
All right.
It's a good movie. I do like the
second movie. Any fond memories of watching this film?
Oh, yeah. What year did this movie come out?
92?
2000.
No.
2000, trust me.
It started with 92.
Well, yeah, but you're going through multiple films. So you're talking about the one that, the black and white that they tried to op with Johnny Depp. Then you're talking about, I think Cronenberg was slated to direct a version with Brad Pitt.
Prester 2000.
Yeah, right. So it's 2000 is the Mary Harron directed Christian Bale, starring not Leonardo DiCaprio.
So, I remember because I was like, it came out. My brother was working at the Alliance, and he just saw it, and he was just like, hey, man, you really got to see this movie. And I'm like, but it's all right. He's like, it's okay, I'll get you in. So, like, you know, Keiray and Joe, the Dills, and him are just like, yeah, go in and watch this movie. I'm 13. And I think it's partially responsible for why I'm so fucked up today. Because I genuinely kind of, like, relate to this movie, especially because, like, maybe I have anger issues. I don't know. But I kind of can. So.
Hey, this isn't your therapy. We're not getting paid enough for that.
Also, you'll never
Tell me
be a
more,
sitter
actually.
For this child.
I'm interested.
You personally.
All right, for me, I had a rather traumatic experience with this film the first time I watched it. I rented it, much like many of the films that I watched when I was younger. I rented it and watched it with an inappropriate family member of some sort. In this particular instance, not my grandma, but rather my mother. So, I rented American Psycho because she loves slasher films, and I'm thinking this is going to be great. And the opening sequence with the food, oh, she loves it. And then, of course, the scene with Christian Bale in the shower. And although his posterior did interest her, shall I say, her real, like, real moment with that film was the removal of the mask. She turned to me and went, oh, I love those masks.
No.
And so for the next 20 minutes of the film, all we were talking about was soaps. So the first time I watched it, I just learned a lot about soap. And then a dog got stomped in the film with the homeless person. And you do not watch a film with my mother where an animal gets hurt. So, yeah. She still hates Christian Bale to this day. She's like, fuck Batman.
That's it.
Did she watch all of Bambi? Or
yeah, I don't know. Yeah, she has no problem with feeding the cat to the ATM, though, actually, so that's cool.
She does know both that it's a movie and that they didn't even show it, right?
You know, like, she thought it was a documentary.
It's the thought of it.
Okay.
Okay.
But didn't have a problem with stare into her asshole.
Don't just look at it.
Yeah. Eat it. Yeah. Don't just stare at it.
This is
eat
your
it.
Problem. But you don't step on a dog in a movie.
Yeah, she didn't. She has no problems
guy?
With.
Did she care about the homeless guy?
No.
Nah. Cares about. That's why they're homeless.
She concurs with Christian Bale. She's like, get a job.
Oh no.
We're just a bunch of terrible people.
This is what you want to reference in the hate mail after.
Yeah, yeah, show at moviesfrommylife.com.
Or you can tweet at not Brandon.
It's going to be my mom sending me this. You do realize that, right?
No, first she's going to share it, and then she's going to listen to it and be really
Share it on my wall, though, because she's still having such trouble with Facebook. Yeah.
We're so dead. You might have to cut that out. Yeah.
All right.
No edits. Calling it now.
Okay, so this film comes out in 2000. Obviously, you mentioned the book, Bret Easton Ellis' book, that met quite a bit of flack upon release, most notably probably Gloria Steinem being a vocal force against it. No, because you brought her up on the Wonder Woman panel.
Yeah,
so that's why, because she kind of was a force behind bringing Wonder Woman back to, you know, the symbol of heroism that she became, and you referenced that on that panel, so I'm just pointing at you to pump old episodes.
I get it. Listen to the Wonder Woman episode.
Yeah, there you go. Where are we here? But the interesting tie-in there is, of course, that Christian Bale's father, for a brief time, dated Gloria Steinem. And there's like a, you know, a little bit of lore behind it that he, you know, there was a lot of stuff apparently at the time that was like, he's totally just taking this role to say like, fuck you, I don't want you as a stepmom. So I just wanted to mention that. I have nowhere to go with that. Also, we kind of alluded to Mary Harron coming on and getting off the project back and forth in terms of this short potential role going to Leonardo DiCaprio.
And the large budget.
Yes, they were getting an increasingly larger budget as Leo kind of said, yes, I'm going to do this. And then, of course, Steinem said, no, you can't do this, and apparently petitioned that as well. I also heard something about Ewan McGregor being up for the role, and Christian Bale apparently contacted him directly and begged him not to take it because he wanted the flick that bad, so that's cool. And, it is a career-defining film for him.
Leo would have been terrible.
Oh.
Titanic?
Yeah, right after Titanic, yeah.
Imagine those Pitt Bob Cronin. Magazines. What would they have done with that?
Yeah, Brad Pitt Cronenberg would have been cool.
Imagine him with that slick back hair, like, in that movie. Gotta go return movies.
Not at that age. I could now.
Yeah.
He could probably do it now.
Well, he kind of did.
Well,
Wolf of Wall Street, yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Florida.
Okay, so where do we want to go from here? Now, across the panel, there are differing opinions on this film, ranging from love the film to, whatever. Watch it on TV, apparently. Whatever television channel this is that Nicholas is watching it on, I have no idea.
It's the Movie Network.
Okay.
There's nothing
Thank you for
good
the
Q-tips,
Mitchell.
Paula, that's the gift that keeps on giving the whole world.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
401 gifts.
Awesome. Perfect. Thank you. We're set for life on Q-tips.
Now, Devin, can we go into the interesting conversation that we were having on the way here? Apparently, you hate this film. And I'm just finding this out now. This is like when we were doing the indie comic book panel, which later on, East and Tommy are going to be helping us out here. They're going to take over the second segment of this show, but I found out that you hate The Crow after us being roommates for a decade.
I mean, it.
I didn't hear him say hate. He said I don't like it anymore.
He said he's never made it to... Oh, okay. That
I hate
movie.
Being the
I'm
pessimist
still,
on these things. The crow hurt me. Like, I hate being...
Why? It's funnier.
Guy,
like but, the Superman panel again.
But it's just... I mean, like I told you guys in the car, my number one fucking movie and book pet peeve is the it was all a dream, nothing really happened ending. Like, it just nullify every single thing that you just showed us by just saying like, oh no, it was all in his head. Like, okay, great, that's perfect.
Okay, but can someone help me out here, because my point was that the ambiguity of the ending and the fact that there is kind of this vapid, meaningless social circle that's going on there, that his lawyer that he's talking to, because this is the basis of your point, right? So, yes, you're right.
Basis of my point. I mean, the entire movie
he specifically says that he had dinner with Paul Allen twice in London. This corroborates the voicemail message, et cetera, which confirms that everything you've seen up to this point is in his head. Right? Other than the holding the nail gun probably to Chloe Savini's head, which is hilarious.
Being feed me a kitten in the ATM machine.
Yeah, that probably
didn't happen. And it's like it all...
Do you think that he killed that blonde model that with the whole, like, you think I'm stupid, this kind of thing, but you're sweet. There's something kind about you. And she gets in the taxi with him and she's holding the blonde... Or he's holding the blonde hair the next day. You think he actually had her head in the fridge?
No.
Just sorbet?
Yeah.
You think he's just imagining all of the things that he does?
Well, yeah, I mean,
In
the book he is, and it's made very clear. And the sketches that he makes in his, like, he's always doodling in his, like, notepad, and that comes up, briefly in the movie, but it's, like, a fairly central, point.
But translate that to film, though, it's like it blurs the line of what's reality and what's not, and that's the best part about it, though.
But you can't say it's that ambiguous when it's got quite a bit of finality to it in the actual story, and they're translating that to film. These things didn't happen. There's not a whole lot of ambiguity.
Maybe that's what East identified with, killing people in his mind.
That's what I'm saying.
Hey,
exactly.
Thank you, Paula.
He doesn't actually kill people.
I just remembered
something.
I think
about it all the time, and it gets me through.
No, seriously, you get like a bad. You have a bad day. You think, I'm gonna kill that person.
Yeah.
How?
Every panel I'm on with Nick.
Oh, come on.
I'm just kidding. I love you.
I didn't vote the crow out.
Hey, East. I just had a little epiphany while we were talking here, because we've been talking for some reason. It just comes up a lot. Our ideas for a Top Gun sequel, or rather a prequel film, Top Gun 2: The Goosening, right?
Which is going to be a hit one day.
Yeah, and I read in preparation for this episode, because why else would I read it, that Christian Bale, the basis for his performance is Tom Cruise. So he is basically playing Tom Cruise in this film. He saw an interview with him, and he was, I think Christian Bale described it as overly nice, but with nothing behind his eyes.
That is the best thing I've ever
heard.
That is Tom Cruise.
That is Tom Cruise,
really,
right?
Sum him up.
Summarized. Yeah.
And so he's basically playing Tom Cruise in this film, which is awesome, because I think you mentioned to me this week that it does come up in the book, Tom Cruise is his neighbor. And that Bateman gets his name wrong, or his movie, the movies, and he's like, hey, I really like Bartender. Well, yeah, so maybe that's why you love this film so much, because you got a thing for Tom Cruise
and
the beach scenes in Top Gun.
My favorite part of it is when he right before he kills Jared Leto, he's like, catch! And he throws it at him, and he's still just, like, smiling.
No, he just says his name. He just says, hey, Paul!
Yeah, but anyway, he's smiling, though. It's very... I imagine that's how Tom Cruise would kill people in real life. Would be smiling. So he'd be the happiest killer.
He'd be dancing all the way up to you and just shaking his hips around.
What is the line? Like, try getting reservations at Dorsey and now, you stupid...
Something like that.
It's good to...
Well, look at me. I don't know. I can't remember.
I haven't watched this movie. I'm just standing on stage for no reason.
Yeah.
We set up an extra mic.
Nick over here. Remember that scene with Mila Kunis?
What, the one where they find the body in the freezer? That was great.
Yeah, no, if you want to talk about number two, it completely goes against the lore of the first one, because they're studying him. They're studying him in this great serial killer class, right? And
so
then...
It vindicates...
It tells you that it did happen, which is stupid. for the record. I concur with you on that, sir.
Yeah.
But
that was my only point as well, right? Okay. I mean, it's that you know, if that is the case, right, that none of this stuff has happened. Yours. It's Mitch brought it for you.
Definitely yours.
Then what's the point?
Not mine.
Then what's the point?
Like, thank you, Mitchell.
You know, I don't know. I feel like the moral of the story being that, like, business people are bad. Like, rich people are really vapid. They don't, like, okay, great. Like, we didn't know that before, and who gives a shit?
I just thought that rich people were amazing humans. They all have philanthropists when you describe them on TV shows and stuff like that. So they're doing good.
And again, it's not that I hated it. It's that
tax credits.
It gets a lot of acclaim. This movie has what is it on Rotten Tomatoes? It's like a 78 or something.
It's not a good movie at all.
It's pretty. That's pretty well received.
Yeah, it's good.
And it's okay. I don't know. It's
what was that?
That was me going. I disagree with you, man. It's not like
it's. It's too funny to make those points that it's trying to make, where the book wasn't that funny. It was super grim and sort of tried to hammer those points home. Mm-hmm. Whereas the movie, it's like, I kind of identify with this guy. I kind of like him. Like, he's like the hero of the story.
Especially the two hooker listening to Sussudio scene. That's your thing? Winking at yourself in the mirror, heroic. Flexing those big muscles.
Well, yeah, but I mean, you see that juxtaposed with, like, the, you know, the all of his asshole friends, and it's like he honestly seems like the one that's the most there. So,
you know, a line that I absolutely loved when I was a kid, and now I cringe at it when I say kid, like, you know, 13, 14. I wasn't watching this at 6. Yeah,
4.
Young was adult. The when he's in the laundromat and he's yelling at the. At these poor Asian laundromat employees, and he's like, stupid bitchy! And then his friend comes in, and, like, I never realized that, you know, when I'm younger, I'm thinking, like, oh, that's really funny. He's making fun of their accent. Now I'm just like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, this should not be in this movie. Written by two progressive females, or rather adapted by, you know, two progressive females, and, you know.
But, it like, the opening, right at the beginning, there's the anti-Semitic comments, and he's like, oh, come on, don't. You know what I mean? Like, he makes a point to say something.
To say cooler with the anti-Semitic, and you don't spin a menorah.
Maybe it balances out.
Right out of the gates, they're putting you on his side. Like,
well, hang
he's
on,
the one
though.
At the table being like, hey, guys.
No, he's
with
not,
the anti-Semitism,
though.
But
what you're
kill
supposed
a couple
to again
yeah.
see is that he's empty because what's the buddy's name? I can't think of it off the top of my head. Let me look at this conveniently placed tiny piece of paper. Bryce. So Bryce is talking about, like, what about what's going on in Sri Lanka? Have you fucking heard about Sri Lanka? And he's getting real pissy about it, right? About the mass genocide and whatnot. And and then Christian Bale goes into this, like, very empty, you know, we have to fix the environment and stop terrorism and these sorts of things. And
that's
it was completely empty. And then he's applauded by all his peers who don't know this. Patrick idiot is full of shit, but they should.
That's later.
If they're
though.
Smarter.
That's not at the.
That's the same scene.
No. The scene at the beginning is the dinner with just with the guys.
Oh yeah, yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's
yeah.
the scene with the.
Sorry. Yes.
The with, woman that he's having an affair with.
Yeah, who's almost perfect, but all done up on painkillers and whatnot. Yeah. Yeah. I like it. All right, well, before we go to break, because we are going to go to break pretty quickly because we're running late, we obviously, if I don't think I've mentioned that we're live at Supermarket. Yes, I did, for our baby shower. Before we go to break, because some of these panelists aren't going to be able to get back up because we all are running a little behind, perhaps a lot behind, but whatever, I wouldn't mind doing a round of favorite scenes. Is that okay? Who wants to kick us off?
Yeah, I'll go. Screw it.
The guy who hasn't seen the film in a while.
The only one scene that I remember is the business card scene where they're all just pulling out their business cards.
That was mine, you fucker.
Screw you. I'm going. That scene to me is the biggest dick measuring contest of life. Like, I mean, it's just you can literally replace the cards with pictures of penises and who drew one better.
Is that how you want the film?
That's
to
how
be?
I watch the film. I'm like, it's a dick measuring contest.
And you know what's great too is his favorite color was bone.
was bone.
And the print is something Patrick. Called Cillian Murray.
Patrick, Patrick, you're sweating.
Oh, by the way, with that scene, I love that. Well, one, that all the cards really do just look the same.
They're all the same.
Yeah. Even the card that drives him later to nearly strangle his friend Lewis. Well, not his friend, the guy he hates, Lewis, and then proceed to, in a panic, in a cold sweat, wash his hands with his gloves on. That's awesome.
Return video days.
Yeah,
yeah, that's my favorite scene.
Quick note on that scene also is that the DVD commentary with Mary Harron talks about how Christian Bale would break out in sweat at the exact same point in that scene every time. They started calling him Robo Actor as a result of it. Just a little fact that you could totally get from not this show. Whatever. Who's next?
I'll go. Since Nick took my favorite
I did not
scene.
Take it. I just swiped it first, okay? Finders keepers, first person. Gotta call it. Gotta call it first. You should have just jumped in.
Fuck you. Okay, look. Fuck so,
is you, that buddy. The first fuck of the show?
No. Oh, no. I've dropped a couple at least. If I'm here, there's at least like a lot.
Yeah, it's appropriate again with the giant balloons baby. Behind me that say baby.
With the A that has horns.
On the A.
Okay, perfect.
Second favorite
That's why I love you.
I'll...
Oh,
we should, you know what? We should drink every time they kiss.
Don't do that.
Oh, what about actually, what do you do when that. when we slip a little tongue? Do you like you got to do a shot? Yeah.
Oh wow.
Oh, I'm gonna get you guys so drunk tonight.
Shit.
We got two beers to choose from. I'm getting panicky. Thank you again, Mitchell. Sleep for the Nightlife is playing later. Our band together. I've missed you. You haven't been back since the Lethal Weapon episode. In a little while, so we got to get you back on the show. And the 92 J's are also playing.
Oh yeah,
which I'm already a little bit hard for.
We're gonna shred. It's gonna be great.
All right, sorry. Your favorite scene?
Favorite scene is actually just to go back to the laundromat scene. That was actually it because I just love how he's just like he's perfectly kind of nice and calm, and then he out of nowhere when he snaps into it, he's like, "I swear to God, I'm gonna strangle both of you," and then like right back into being calm. And just after work, because here's the thing, man, working at Starbucks. That was what made me relate to that movie because people are fucked and there were times and you would get guys that would yell at you and in my head, I'm just like, man, I just want to get this hot fucking cup of coffee and throw it in your face and watch your face melt as I rip a solo. Like, it'd be fucking great.
Well, you know, but I can't do Starbucks that. Starbucks too. I don't know if I can. I'm joking. I don't know what Starbucks you worked at.
I worked in the financial district, that Paula. Sense. That was the thing. A lot of them were all financial like bros like that. There was one guy who got a
financial bros?
Yeah.
They all work together.
Yeah, financial bros.
That's a fucking podcast for sure. It. You know, check out our new podcast, Financial Bros, where we give you all the secrets to starting your own business.
Stock advice, the financial bros got you.
And they're all on blow. It's a true thing. Anyway, so true story, bro. Anyway. what was I saying? Oh, yeah. So, when he just, like, snaps in and out like that, it was very much like my head as I was getting berated by a customer being like, oh, yeah, it's for fucking no foam on my fucking latte. And I just really just want to, like, I want to fucking choke out, and I can't do that. So I'm just like, you're right, sir, absolutely. I will remake your beverage. But my head is saying what Patrick Bateman was saying, which was, I hope you drink and then drive home.
Yeah, we're all reaffirming Devin's point, by the way. Maybe he's going to prove himself right by the end of this episode.
He's always right.
How about Paul, are you ready? You want to?
Okay, so.
Favorite scene?
My favorite scene, and I don't think anyone's going to pick this one, is probably the one that would be the most offensive scene. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, this is the most offensive scene to me in the whole movie, but I love it, is when he tells the secretary, Jean, Chloe Savigny, to dress nicer because she's prettier than that and wear heels. That's fucking
and heels.
Terrible.
I like heels.
Yeah, wear heels. And then later on, he asks her if she wants to like go out and eat, and he tells her, well, go home and change first. He's so mean to her. It's
financial
great.
Bros.
Yeah, but I don't take it. I wouldn't take it like
and then
that.
And then it cuts to that scene where they're talking about, nothing, or there's no such thing as a great personality on a woman or
oh
something like
God,
this.
Oh, my God, yes, you're right, yeah. Either they have a personality because they have to make up for being ugly, Oh, man.
Yeah, whatever the fuck that is.
I love it. It's so bad. It's so good.
That whole scene is basically how Tom talks to me on a daily.
Oh, no.
I totally figured out why I was okay with doing this, because Paul is just lobbing opportunities for me to be sweet to her. Like, right there, I could have just been like, oh, babe, I got the full package right here. I got personality and looks. And
really?
Kiss again, and then you get
a drink, and then we're good to go.
Devin, you had a point that you were... patiently waiting
well,
to
he's,
add.
He's or she's the only one that he can't kill
crack.
In the end. Like she like breaks him.
Yeah,
you know, she's just too sweet. Chloe Sevigny in that movie. She's
oh
crazy.
Man, I really would have liked to seen that nail gun fired though
no,
into somebody's
that
head. That was very
right
creative.
Up against her head.
Even with the spoon, actually, he's like not on the table. Like put it in the carton.
In the carton. I'm sorry. She's like.
Devin, your favorite scene?
It's like a 2-second cut where he's on his spree, and I swear to God, this gets me every single time. He goes out the revolving
yes.
door, and he comes back and shoots that one janitor, and then runs out. Every
oh, it's
single
amazing!
Time
every single
loud.
Time I laugh,
it's amazing.
Oh, that's a great call. Okay, I'm just going to go with Jared Leto getting fucking killed because it's...
Hey, you didn't
Jared
say it right.
Yeah, method actor Jared Leto getting just destroyed with an axe. I
so
appreciate
Batman
it.
Batman kills the Joker.
Again.
No, I don't want to... Don't bring that joke on our fucking podcast, man.
Come on.
Yeah, why, what? You know what? Yeah.
Yeah.
I, mean, just, I was going to make a good...
Bring,
I was going like, really
to really
add that.
Let's bring on fucking internet memes from ye old interweb. I found this thing on the internet. Let me read it.
Actually, I just thought of it. So
let
I'm,
me read
I'm,
it to you.
And right
there
now, is the first of me Patrick Bateman fucking you right now.
Give me that shit. Where's
it
my latte?
Happened.
Sorry,
where's
gonna,
my latte, East?
You were going to say something about Jared Leto being killed, East.
Yeah, I was just going to say I love that scene, because fuck him. Right? Am I right? Yeah?
Devin nods.
Yeah, yeah. Fuck that guy.
It's too bad he didn't method act his death.
30 seconds to Mars, 30 seconds to Dick.
Oh, jeez.
30 seconds
Yike.
To death.
All right, so, I don't know. You want to go to break and then
like
we can all
Leto.
Get off the
Why
stage and let Tommy and Norm, and Norm is not here, but East, and whoever he wants to recruit do.
It's going
to
be Nick.
Or Nick.
I'm keeping Nick.
Seriously?
Okay.
Yeah, buddy.
Fuck.
You, me, and Tom, bro.
I need another beer. I'm out.
Okay, do you want to explain the rules to Power Struggle for anyone who hasn't played it before, or do you want to go to break, come back, and
we're
do
gonna
it
We're
going
to go to break,
refresh?
And then I'm going to let Tommy handle it. I'm going to let Tommy handle all that, and all right. then we'll go to break. And then all right,
so we're
going to
go to break, come back, and get into our game of Power Struggle for American Psycho.
What's up, brothers and sisters? We are the 92 New Jays and we play rock and roll.
Panty and I don't want none of your stuff. And they hit me on the kick. notes, Jim. Thanks to these two guys making a baby, huh? Yeah! For the night to Blue Jay-Z, play rock and roll. Thanks for coming out. See you the Nightlife for up next.
All right, so we're back. And I'm turning the mic over to Tommy, East, and Nick in place of Norm today.
Yeah, I don't know where that guy is.
I don't know either.
He disappeared.
He left us.
He left us. He left us.
He left us. But that's not what Nick's going to do.
Now, here's a question for you. You guys are going to be premiering, obviously, any of our listeners who have been, you know, with us through, say, for example, the Superman episode that you joined us for, or the, what was the other one? The Indie Comics panel that you joined us for.
The tournament. Yeah, yeah.
They know you as the gentleman from Drunk with Power, but you are turning that into a YouTube channel. That's my understanding.
Drunk with Power is going to go mostly videos, a lot of interviews, a lot of weird...
Anything X-rated?
Well, I don't know. It really depends on how I feel that day. It's kind of coming out of the back of my mind, day to day.
The back of your
mind? Oh, yeah,
mind.
This guy.
Okay, yeah, sorry. Just clarifying.
Yeah, no.
Okay, so I guess, is this the last time we're going to be hearing Power Struggle? Because your new show's...
So, no, I wouldn't say it's the last time we're going to do Power Struggle. I think this is probably the last time we're going to be together as, like, a Drunk with Power podcast.
Okay.
I think, you know, I'm going to, you know, jump on with Power Struggle maybe into our next podcast that we are revamping and starting sometime in the next few months.
Awesome.
So,
And you guys, if you're listening, will know, or if you're in the packed audience right now...
Yeah! You just hear the hum. It's breezy.
Then you can stay tuned to Mermel to find out what's going on with that, because we're obviously going to have you back on to push that and et cetera, et cetera.
Fantastic. I cannot wait.
Being that you're family now and whatnot.
Well, I mean, once you're in, it's really hard to get out.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to turn this over to you, gentlemen,
great,
to explain the rules for, I guess, Power Struggle.
Okay.
Kind of, whatever it's going to be called later, but for now, Power Struggle?
Yeah, well, Power Struggle is a drinking game that was part of our show, or is still, I guess, part of the show, Drunk with Power. I'm the host of that show, Tommy Power, and with me, as always, is Anthony East.
Good evening.
And Norman Jack's looking completely different today.
Guys.
This is Nick.
Hey, how you doing?
Because you've already been here. But the name of the game is Power Struggle, because it not only takes my name, but my struggle with drinking, which makes it sound a little, you know...
It's not a struggle. The only struggle you have is putting it down.
That's the struggle. All right, great. Now, the rules of the game are pretty simple. What you would have right here is 3 shot glasses. Hand those out to you. Here you go, Nick.
Yep.
And Easty. Nick, this is your first time on the show, so it's probably good that I explain this to you.
Yeah. I need a refresher.
What's going to happen is one person is going to read a question from this hat behind me, okay? Which will probably be me first. I will read the first question, and you two will either agree or disagree on the would you rather or whatever the question may be. Now, if you disagree, both of you will have an opportunity to debate your option as to why you think that is the better option for the question. If you agree, I will drink a shot. But if you disagree and I find one of your explanations better than the other, you will drink your shot. You have 3 shots, and once the shots are done, you're done, and then you have to take the dirty shot. The loser takes the dirty shot.
Ooh.
Hey, Tommy, just as a note before I get off stage, I'm totally going to record Norm explaining this better than you later.
Yeah, he's way better.
Yeah, he's better than this.
He pretty much invented this. He looked at me and said, we're going to take your name and your struggle, and we're going to create a game based around how you're an alcoholic. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense, bro.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right, I'm getting off the stage.
All right, cool. Here we go. So, Power Struggle. First time we ever done this live in front of people.
Ever.
That's live, right?
Yeah.
Okay, first question, because I think they're all based. We all wrote these questions, is that correct?
Yeah,
we sure did.
Okay, guys, first question of the night. Who'd win in a fight, Patrick Bateman or Christian Bale on set?
Okay.
Yeah. Patrick Bateman.
Count it off.
I'll count it down, and you guys scream out your question or scream out your answer. Okay, you ready? In 3, 2, 1.
Christian Bale.
Oh, see? You both said Bale. Now I got a drink.
Ah.
There it is.
Can I pull
why Bale?
Why Bale?
Serious.
Because Bale's fucking nuts on set. He was on the Terminator set and he yelled at a camera guy for just getting in his way. Whatever the fuck.
What do you
point
mean,
is,
why? Why? What don't you fucking understand? It became a song after the whole rant.
Yeah. He'll fucking kill you, bro. He'll kill you.
He'll kill you.
He'll kill you.
All right. Second question. That's all you. You all go right. ahead. You read it out.
Shit.
Wonderful.
Which ATM wins in an online chess match? The machine that tells Patrick Bateman to feed it a kitten? Or the machine that calls Stephen King an asshole in Maximum Overdrive?
All right. Yeah.
All right, here we go. One, two, three.
Stephen asshole King. Machine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
Easy.
I feel like he's less angry and less psychotic, so he might like stick to the rules of chess as opposed to stabbing you in the neck.
And the fact that it possibly might have read a bunch of Stephen King's masterworks and was like, fuck that guy.
Yeah. What an asshole.
That's a very, very intelligent piece of machinery.
Yeah, go write another novella about a lamp.
Quite.
So I got a drink, right?
Yes,
yeah,
you do,
definitely
Nicholas.
Definitely got a drink. You're one, I'm one. That's okay, man. We're tied here. It's going to be fun.
This part's always hard for me because I can't really read. Good. All right.
Full stop.
Would you rather... this is good. Make out with Willem Dafoe while he's smoking a dirty cigar for 30 minutes straight, or eat a chef-prepared made dish with human brains from Dorissa?
Dorcia.
Dorcia. Tom wrote that one.
Yeah. You definitely read it.
Okay. And three, two, one.
Willem Dafoe.
Fuck.
I mean, I'm not a cannibal. And Willem Dafoe as like...
He's not bad looking.
Well, I mean, like, when?
I'm not going to lie. When? He's got a kind of crazy...
He's got a good mane. Like, come on. That hair is fucking magical.
That's the only thing. He looks like a Nazi from Raiders just starting to melt.
I'll take this shot.
I'm just basing this on hair, okay? It's just the hair.
I think that's you.
I can't get over the hair.
I'll take this shot with pride alone. That guy, man, if he wants it and I want to give it to him, fuck it. I'll make it with him.
Ask Willem first, okay? See if he says yes.
He'd say yes to me.
All right. Next question. It looks like, is that all of us? We're all one for one now?
Yeah.
Cool. Recap.
Tie game.
All right. Here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go. Would you rather lick a sweaty Christian Bale's ass crack? Yeah. or listen to Hip to Be Square forever. I'm assuming that means no other songs ever. Just Hip to Be Square. Or lick sweaty Christian Bale's ass crack. Like, I know my answer, but...
Count down, Thomas.
3, 2, 1.
Lick me the ass crack.
Of course.
Sure.
I'll drink to that. It's Christian Bale.
As much as I love Huey Lewis in the News, I don't want to listen to that one. If it was Power of Love,
bring it on.
Did you see
how many like sit-ups he did in that movie?
And he's very clean.
Yeah. He's very clean.
How much moisturizer does a man need?
His ass looks like two kidney beans hugging.
His ass is probably cleaner than the plate I eat off of.
His ass is a big ripe pear.
A pear?
All right, peach. Okay. All right, my turn.
Have you even seen
an
asshole?
That's a weird-looking butt.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Really
Would you rather better business card shade, off-white, or bone? What's a better shade?
Off-white or bone?
Off-white or bone.
I mean...
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
Off-white.
Boom!
Game on!
All right. You want to take this one?
No, I would love to hear you defend off-white.
All right. Well, I mean, it's kind of...
What?
It's less violent. It's, you know, it's got some skin on it, sort of. Unlike a bone that has nothing, and it's, you know, it's to the core of the colors
done?
And... Yeah, I'll drink.
Okay.
Hold on.
Oh, okay.
First of all here, it's fucking bone.
You have no sleeves.
I don't. Hey, wait, don't bring my appearance into this. Shit has nothing to do with this show.
You're right.
Point is, I did it for the fans, baby. The point is, look, it's fucking bone. And that's all I have to say.
That's all you have
and
said.
And bone has marrow.
That's
and Nick
it,
knows
like
which
hands
to,
down,
and
Mitch, it's just bone.
Nick knows which to pick.
Okay. Nick?
Off-white or bone?
What do we
do? You lose, Ant. You have no argument. He's already
made
an argument.
It's fucking bone!
Drink, damn
it!
Just drink, damn it!
I love this. Nick, you can play this game with me anytime.
No problem. Yep, yep, yep.
For you, Anthony. Two for you.
Yeah, two for me.
Two for you. All right. Well, I mean, this means you're reading a question, which is even better than just answering a question. I love listening to you read.
Nobody else does. All right. Soundtrack to Your Murder. Huey Lewis in the News or Genesis? I thought it was Genesis, but it's Genesis.
I was waiting for it. I was like, how do I read this? How do you pronounce
okay,
it?
So,
is it genetics?
So Soundtrack to Your Murder, Huey Lewis in the News, or Genesis? Mm. 3, 2, 1.
Huey Lewis. That's 3 for you, baby.
Am I on shot?
You are on shot. He's officially on shot. Now, what that means...
After the beer, right?
What? Yeah, no. You can drink that right now, and then you have a shot afterward if you lose.
Wonderful.
Okay. I was going to explain that part, but he's like, hey, wait. Hey, wait a minute. I don't want to do this.
Wait a minute, Tom.
No, that's okay. But yeah, I think Huey Lewis is basically one of those characters. Like, Genesis is fine, but like, you know, they split, right? Did Huey ever split?
No, but he's playing Casino Rama coming up, and I'm going to go if any of you guys
great.
Want to come
yeah,
with me.
Yeah, no, I'm down with that. I just think he's committed. That's all. He's a very committed person. So he'd be committed to murder, whereas like Phil would be like, I don't know. Maybe. Maybe not. Next question. This could be your... This could be your Genesis, Ant.
Let's not think like that.
Your start of a brand new... is that what Genesis means? I don't know. I don't even know what the news means.
I thought it meant...
Who's ready? Okay. This is interesting. Does this mean, would you rather eat? Because I feel like you wrote this one, Nick.
I think it's would you rather.
Okay.
It's right, would you rather.
All right. Would you rather... Well, if I say that, it's not going to make any sense, so I'm going to read it anyways. Would you rather Jared Leto chicken sandwich or Patrick Bateman burger? Would you rather Jared Leto chicken sandwich or Patrick Bateman burger? Now, did you mean eat?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll go with that. All right, guys. You ready for this? Ant, you're on shot. Do you know what's in that little glass there?
I goddamn know what's in that glass.
All right. This is going to be great. He hates drinking.
I do. That's why we're changing the show.
Yay. Oh, format. This is the real struggle, getting through the questions. Jared Leto chicken sandwich or Patrick Bateman burger in 3, 2, 1.
Leto.
Bateman burger. Oh, we got a Leto and we got a Bateman burger. Oh, good. How about you debateman the burger?
Okay, well, since we're talking Patrick Bateman and not necessarily Christian Bale in general, going back to the talking about, you know, Patrick Bateman's physique and his cleanliness, I feel that the tenderness of said burger would be a lot like a bison burger, and I love a good loving... What? What's the
no,
one
no,
of that
sorry,
fucking
go on.
Face?
No, it seems like you know a lot about food.
I like to eat a lot of food. I don't know how to make a lot of food.
Uh-huh.
I can eat the shit out of that, though. The point is... Yeah, I think it'd just be good meat. I think you just get good, tender meat in there. I think it'd be good for a tasty burger, okay. You know, as opposed to your Jared Leto chicken burger, because fuck him.
Okay, so
I
Jared
disagree.
Leto sandwich.
Let's look at the facts here.
We're going to wax intellectual about it, Nick.
Christian Bale is all product. All just byproduct. Like, he oils himself up. It's just overproduced bullshit. But then you got Leto. Give him a little bit of cocaine, a little bit of steroids. He's free range. He does his thing. He could be juicy. He's also a little crispy, but it'll taste damn good. So I wouldn't want that overproduced bullshit, that like pumping like steroids and all that juicy shit, because that's just fake. I want real.
Okay, so we're talking. Hear me out. I'm just going to go for the. I'm going to rebuttal this, please.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Rebuttal. Okay.
If we're talking fucking burgers here, bro, what I'm saying is I'm the type of guy myself, I like it nice, I like it greasy.
Yeah,
I like it loaded. I'm not going to, if I'm going to eat a chicken burger, no. I'm going to eat a burger. I want to feel fucking like, I want to kind of feel like shit after.
What's more greasy than Jared Leto?
It's a chicken burger, Jared Leto.
Chicken can have grease.
I'm sorry. That totally makes sense. Also, I mean, shit. Patrick Bateman is all muscle. So, I mean.
Where's the meat?
Hey, Ant, you see that shot right there? Don't just stare at it. Eat it.
Yeah.
You know what?
I'm sorry, dude. You had to have to lose that one. Bison burger versus like an elk. It's gamey and it's tough.
This shot smells.
Yeah, it's not good. Ooh, how's that feel? Woo! How's that taste?
It's actually not that bad. I've had worse.
Yeah, I bet. Oh, man.
I didn't expect to win, though.
Right. Wait, hey, you totally took him down. So did I. This is great.
This is really fucking great, isn't it?
Oh, don't be so upset. Yeah. You've officially lost the last version of Power Struggle that DWP was ever going to put out. So, I mean, you should feel privileged because you lost the first one, too. It's a good way to bookend this journey together.
It goes for my just desserts as well for delaying like nine times and being like, no, I'll do the shot next episode.
I don't want to do the shot.
You did. Yeah. So, thank you.
Thank you, Nicholas.
Well, that's an official
thank you
power
guys
struggle.
For having
I hope
this
you
was
all
great.
Enjoyed it.
And thank you, Paul and Brandon, for doing this and having a baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the last power struggle. There you go.
We're Sleep for the Nightlife.
All right, so we're back, and we are in the home stretch of our first live podcast, gentlemen, and my baby shower. We're on the home stretch of that. We still got two bands to play, including us, Sleep for the Nightlife, and the super sexy 1992 Blue Jays, including Kelly Gruber. We're missing a person here. Where is Jesse?
He ran to the bathroom.
He ran to the bathroom. Motherfucker. Does he not understand the pretense of life? Oh, double motherfucker. Getting a drink. All right. So we'll get started in the interim. We'll close out with Jesse's super top secret situation, which I really want him to share on the show. Matt from the Crossover Podcast is joining us. Thank you for coming down, making the trip down the 400, as I always say when you're on the show, good sir.
No problem.
Joining the, well, you know, you're part of the family now, so I pretty much forced you to come. I've been
much
messaging you like daily, so.
Unfortunately, I can't stay very long because I have reservations at Dorsey later. I'm a little late to the game. Has anybody made that joke already?
I thought you were going to say you had to return some videotapes.
Yeah.
That was the one I was going to go with.
Okay, so we're gonna do this a little inverted because Sir Jesse isn't here, so we'll get to some other shit later. But I'd like to, with the final round of this podcast, and Danny is also joining us. I'm sorry. Welcome back to the podcast. You haven't been on since probably what, Fincher?
It's been a while.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Just you're gonna have to tip that up a little more, good sir. Yeah. You know how to work a mic in a rock band.
Yeah, I do.
Oh, Jesse's joining us. I wonder if we should revamp now. Yeah, let's do it. Jesse, you had a wonderful story from your high school era, I believe.
Just jumping right into it?
Sweet. Yeah, let's do it. Well, because you missed the opening.
Sorry I'm late. I had to return some videotapes.
Well
Bravo.
Played. Well played.
I've been waiting. Well played. I planned that all afternoon to say that. I was like, I'm going to come in fast. I should be late. Okay, I'm going to take...
Oh. What would the 2017 version of that excuse be?
We're going to rewind. We're telling the story. We're doing this thing.
I don't know what the...
My phone's at 10% battery. I got to go.
My phone is actually at 3% battery, so...
Oh, shit.
I know. Life's over for me in about 3 seconds. I'm curious about the story, because you've been pumping this story all week, so
it's
don't
not,
let it
it's
sound
not even
good,
that
sir.
Good.
Good,
it
sir.
Just, I,
oh,
it,
fuck.
It's, I think it's funny. It happened to me. So.
All right.
I can take it back to the year. It was 2000. The movie had just came out. I went to Mayfield School of the Arts. I was a drama major.
Big ups.
You were Brampton, a drama major as well. Cheers to that. All right. So, yeah, it was OAC final project. We had to do a monologue from any book we wanted or any kind of thing we wanted. And I wanted to do American Psycho. So I got the book. I read it. Loved it. And I had a piece picked out. It wasn't anything too extreme or crazy. But part of the project was you had to sit down with the teacher, take a look at your material, chat about the project, and, you know, figure it out and go from there. Halfway through, we're chatting about it. He's reading the book, and he says, "Jesse, I don't think you can do this material." I'm like, "Why not?" And he's like, "Read this to me." He had somehow turned to the scene where Patrick Bateman had taken the sewer rat, taken some fine cheese, and put it up the lady's, and let the sewer rat just loosen her and ate her from the inside and all that horrible stuff. So I ended up not doing that one because it was too much. And what I ended up doing was I didn't plan anything, so I ended up ripping off like some stand-up comedy material from someone else. And that was basically it.
I'm glad we waited for that.
Yeah, no, I told you it wasn't that good of a story. It's just a funny one.
Well, I'm glad we finally got it out this week. All right, so final segment, what we're doing with it is I'd like to pitch we're in the era of reboots and revamps, et cetera, and... other than Nick, pretty much everyone in the fucking world doesn't acknowledge the existence of American Psycho 2. So I'd like... I kid because I love. Also because it's just funny. But I'd like to do a round of essentially either pitching a reboot, a revamp, or a reimagining of American Psycho. Who would like to kick us off? Danny, I'm looking at you because you haven't been up here yet. So let's throw you to the wolves.
So like, talk about like a theoretical reboot. Like, who would play who?
You can pitch your entire movie. Imagine that this capacity audience,
right,
is your.
I'd be more interested in seeing like a classic reboot, kind of like the Coen's True Grit thing. Go back to the source material. But who would be great as Patrick Bateman? Probably Tom Hardy. Because he's such a psychopath. I don't know if any of you guys have seen Bronson.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I didn't really like him as an actor until I saw that movie. He's pretty fucking terrifying. And the physique he built. So I'd like to see him as a Patrick Bateman.
Same movie?
Axe wielding.
Same kind of thing? Yes. Do the story of Patrick Bateman?
Oh, totally. Yeah.
I wouldn't change. Right on. You going to put a Tom Cruise cameo in there?
Yes.
Yeah, Tom Cruise is Paul Allen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I like it. And Jared
Paul
Leto
doesn't
plays
get the
Tom
run,
Cruise.
Though, so he wouldn't do it.
All right, Sir Devin, you got anything interesting for me?
I'd like to see that, the Brad Pitt Cronenberg joint that never was.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think that'd be
big
pretty
time.
Cool. And I don't know, generally just a tone that's a little bit less likable. Like, I don't know. He's such a funny guy. in that movie. Like it, as gruesome as the whole thing is, he manages to come off pretty likable, and I think that's not at all what the like.
I thought he was a dick.
Like Jesse said, the I cheese agreed. Part. Like you can't like. You can't read something like that and identify whatsoever with this character. But when it's like, I don't know.
I would make a speak for yourself joke, but my fiance's over there, so.
let me ask you this, boy. Devin. If Jared Leto and Christian Bale switched roles for the original one,
I was
would that do
that.
It for you?
Yeah. I hate Jared Leto. Hate him.
Method actor Jared Leto.
Burning passion from
He's okay.
deep within the core of my being.
You didn't like his Joker?
Put Jared Leto as the receptionist. Oh, there you go. Jared you Leto in the Chloe Savini role? Yeah. I like this. Make him make
oh, that's
that
modern.
Movie.
Yeah,
that's yeah,
modern.
Yeah. And he has to wear the fucking heels. I like it. Shout out. It's my fucking show, man. Who wants to go next? We got...
Well, I'm just imagining some kind of like... If you were going to do it in 2017, wouldn't you do like a Netflix series? Like you get 10 episodes and you just go... You just go from him losing it. Or like, I don't know. Maybe you could start it at him doing... Becoming like a Wall Street guy and then getting addicted to coke and whatnot. Kind of like the little bit of The Wolf of Wall Street, but, you know, which is a terrible movie, but that's a different podcast. And... just lead it all the way up to like the bloodlust and whatnot, like really do a psychological study on him, the Patrick Bateman character, just building to it. I don't know. That's what I would do.
And Jesse, did we get you yet?
No, sir. I would basically take the script, or I wouldn't even get the script. I would basically hire Lars von Trier to take the book and say, just do your thing. Make it just like the book, but Lars von Trier version of it. Very artsy, over the top with like violin music. And when it gets down to the sex and the violence, it's like there's no pulling back.
So we're going to need a brick of cheese is what
you're
going to
need
saying.
A brick of cheese. The biggest surette you've ever seen your whole life. And as for who would play him, I don't know. I want like whoever like the newest, youngest teen heartthrob that... would trick young girls going in to see this movie.
Yeah, you need like the kid from Riverdale.
Yeah, exactly. Right exactly. There you go. The dude, like yeah, that. Yeah, that's perfect, actually. And then people who would be
I see East off stage just nodding and giving the thumbs up on the casting choice.
Hey, big money. Harry Styles.
Make something? It happen. Like Harry Styles, or like, yeah, some young heartthrob that a lot of people don't know who, like, what this movie's about. They're only seeing it because he's in it. Mm-hmm. And there he is just hacking prostitutes apart and just doing his thing, you know?
All right. I respect that. That's cool. Well, I respect that. A lot of respect. Okay. So what I was thinking while I was standing here was something to the effect of I'd like to do the exact same movie, but from the perspective of the Lewis character. So you have this closet homosexual marrying this trophy wife and living the life, you know, living the 1980s kind of American dream and doing it, but doing everything with just a little bit more flair, you know, and just how exciting that character could be to watch. And you know, I would like to do it where those murders are actually happening. I know that you know, it's in his head, whatever, but I'd like to do where the murders are actually happening. So he's reading about this in the paper, and his colleagues are going missing and this sort of thing, and models are going missing from local clubs, and homeless people are being found stomped to death, et cetera, et cetera. And he's just reading about it, and when he sees Patrick Bateman come out with the carry-on bag, he's got such a crush on this cat that he doesn't even put it together when it's like, oh, what a lovely carry-on bag. You know, what is that? And, you know, whatever. No, Jean-Paul Gaultier. But, of course, he's completely blind to it. And I would like to maybe wrap it up with the idea of him being the final victim. You know, that would be something that I would like to do with it.
He's completely blind because he sees this bag. He tried to strangle him to death, and he didn't even see him as murder.
Exactly, he interpreted it as a, you know, a romantic gesture, right? So, I like the idea of that coming to to a conclusion, but also the fact that you're rooting for the Lewis character throughout the whole thing. Because that's exactly the problem that you're having with the film, Devin, right? Is that there's the person that they put everything through the perspective of is someone that you shouldn't be rooting for, and because of the nature of how well the jokes are written in the script, et cetera, like you find yourself relating to that person, although you would never engage in anything that they're doing, you know, talking on the phone to their, you know, affair partner in an affair while watching hardcore porn, this sort of thing. You certainly wouldn't do 1,000 crunches. No offense. I love you, but
you don't know me.
Prove it. Do it now.
One.
Perfect.
Thought about it and got tired.
So that's my idea in any case. That's what I would do.
I was going to say, I really like that idea of telling it from someone else's perspective, but I think I personally would rather see it told from the perspective
of...
Yeah, one of the female characters, and off the top of my dome, I was thinking either the Chloe, the receptionist character.
The brown bunny?
Yeah, or the...
Claim to fame?
Prostitute that he picks up twice. That would be interesting.
What about...
Yeah, that is interesting.
What about Homeward Bound from... the pet owner's perspective, so that's just them sitting around.
Oh, where'd it go?
I hope they come back.
It's like, have you heard anything?
No.
You know, it's your fault because you booked the, you know, yeah, sorry. That's the movie.
The end of the movie?
Well, they just go shopping for another dog.
Shit, I guess they're home.
Weird. I knew they'd come back.
Well, the real ending of that film would totally be that they died. Like, there's...
Those dogs aren't making it across country like that. That's
no. So the end of that movie you're pitching is you know, oh, it's your fault, Timmy, because the dogs are dead now. That's
my ideal American Psycho is Homeward Bound from the parents' perspective.
Perfect. That is dark. That is the darkest thing I've heard on stage since I've gone up on stage.
Get this done, movie execs. Okay, any final thoughts on American Psycho, gentlemen? Because this is we're running behind, so we got to wrap it up quick. This episode probably wasn't that informative, but you know what are you going to do? Fuck you guys. It's my day.
Who had worse dance moves in the history of movies while wearing black thong lingerie? Yeah, the prostitute or Jamie Lee Curtis in True Lies?
Oh yeah.
Oh.
That would have been a good Would You Rather.
Yeah, I should have saved that for the Drunk with Power segment.
Do a whole podcast on that.
Missed that.
Yeah. Okay, start over. Just delete all this.
Can't throw Jamie Lee Curtis under the bus. I'd have to go with the prostitute.
Yeah, I would concur. You can't throw a scream queen of that caliber under the bus.
Great.
Legend. Okay, so that's it for final thoughts. Really? Yep. No one has any final thoughts other than Matt? It's just a
my
drunk
one,
with power
my
question.
One-liner.
It never was.
Just bridging the gap.
You should probably read the book. I don't know.
It's one of those. Yeah.
Turn off the TV and read a book, guys.
Did you actually read the book, Devin? Just out of curiosity? Because I haven't, so I was just. What's the comparison?
I didn't. It was just a lot clearer about everything. It was a lot more. You know, straightforward. If at the ending about the fact that these things didn't happen, that this is a reflection of, mm-hmm. of you know.
Because I'll be honest, I had like the first time I saw American Psycho, someone had to explain that to me because I didn't think it was that clearly depicted in the movie. Like I don't know, it came out in 2000, so I would have been 14, 15, 16 around that era, and someone was like. Oh, you know what's all happening in his head? And I was like, wait, what?
the doodle pad. They they gloss over it so quick.
Oh, yeah. The crossword puzzle, which is meat and bone?
Meat and bone, yeah. Because, I never bought the scene, because, like I said, I initially thought this was all actually happening, but I never bought the scene where Christian Bale was running around and then he started firing at the cops.
Blows up the cop car.
Well, this is completely unrealistic. And he gets, 15 shots out of his little pistol there.
Car
and I'm
explodes.
Like, yeah.
Someone should service that ATM.
Yeah. And, he's running around the streets of New York where there's cameras everywhere. And I'm like, nobody. And it wasn't like he was in one location. He's running around blocks just firing at people. And I'm
he's got
like,
a machine gun running up and down, the lobby and shit. No one hears it.
And then when someone was like, oh, you know, it didn't really happen. It was all in his head. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I'm stupid then, I guess. But looking back when I rewatched it for this, I was like, no, I'm not really stupid, because they don't make it 100% clear in the movie that it's just all in his dome, right? Because they... Like you said, they whip through the doodle book so fast where if you can't pause it, you're just kind of like, oh, he's crazy. But we already knew that because he's been hacking people up the entire movie. So I don't know.
Dumping dogs in alleyways.
You know, oh, God, that was grim. That was
you
grim.
Know, Devin, I just... When you said read a book, you know what I thought of? I'm pretty sure many years ago you lent me your copy of Less Than Zero, and I just realized, one, I never gave it back to you. Two, I have no idea where the fuck it is.
Well, three, I've never owned the book Less Than Zero.
Okay, so maybe it's
that
not you.
That movie is way better than the book, though.
Yeah.
It's not like American Psycho at
all. In terms of
Less Than Zero as a book is terrible, but I love the movie.
It's because of Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, he's so good. Andrew McCarthy. No, is it James Spader who plays the drug dealer in Less Than Zero?
I think you were right the first time.
Well, it's great.
Who cares? This is the American Psycho panel. We'll prep better for the Less Than Zero panel. Come back for that. All right. If I may, could I have all of the panelists join us on stage so we can quickly wrap up the show? I've got a lot of thank yous to give. My lovely fiance and mother of my forthcoming child. Coming soon. To a crib near you. No crib?
No.
Okay. All right, so quick thank you to... Let's just go across the stage like this. My partner in crime and my roommate for a better part of a decade, Sir Devin of what? Gardner. on Twitter, at your homeboy, yes?
Rarely use it.
Another rarely used Twitter account is at Mr. Magoo Jesse. Mr. Jesse Collier, who hasn't been on the show lately.
Get in there, don't worry.
Yeah. We got some stuff coming up with you. I love having you on. Tommy, I always love having you. Can we still find you at DWP_gang on Twitter?
Definitely.
For the time being. Also, check out Tommy's Instagram account, because there's all kinds of cool stuff coming up there, which is?
It's FromTom_with_love.
Oh, that's so romantic. I love it. Gingers_revenge, Mr. Nicholas Romita. Thank you, good sir. The only comments that we had on the live stream were razzing you, so they love you. They love you. Our adopted family member from Barrie.
Thank you.
Matt from the Crossover Podcast. If you haven't already subscribed to the Crossover Podcast, please do so. You can find them at thecrossoverpodcast.com and at mpier6
on Twitter. Yeah.
Cool.
You guys got to come back on for football picks, because Devin actually won our friend of the show picks last year.
Which is insane.
And yeah, if there's ever proof that gambling is both fun and easy, it's that Devin won our friend of the show picks. So.
Sports.
Attaboy, Devin.
I know.
Devin knows sports. Paula, where can people find you on ye olde interweb?
Fluffy on Instagram.
With an underscore at the end, right? So at Capellafee.
Yep.
Perfect. Daniel? Lindsay?
Twitter, Leafs Love Hurts. It's Leafs.
Not these days.
Related. Yeah, no, not anymore. But things are getting a lot better. I haven't updated the blog in like a year and a half, but that's my Twitter handle.
Question for you. In addition to playing with us for the first time in the better part of, what, 4 or 5 years tonight? Yeah, you also have a new record out, so how can people find Stumbler's record?
Oh, yeah, it's Stumbler, spelled like Tumblr, at .bandcamp.com, so you can find that record, 20 songs, as of last week.
Excellent. Sir Anthony of East?
Hey, baby.
How can people find you on the internet?
You can find me at Ant East, and that's my Twitter. Yeah, there you go.
All right, and the new show with you and Tommy is in the works, and Norm, of course, who wasn't here. That is going to be called... something?
It's called Greetings from Loserville.
There it is.
Excellent.
We had a huge like spat of like going through them, and it was...
You see your brain working. You couldn't remember.
I'm my brain is a piece of shit, and I think everyone on this stage knows that.
All right. Now, if you guys have been wondering why we haven't been releasing a lot of Mermal content lately... The secret is that we're actually currently in development in a handful of shows that are kind of going to be spin-offs of Movies Are My Life, but not really. The first of which you're going to be hearing a episode of very soon. It is Paul's forthcoming podcast for Disgruntled Parents. You can say that into the mic if you'd like, my dear.
Yes, that's right.
Beautiful. Called...
Oh No, Kids Movies.
I love it. So you can get more info on Oh No Kids Movies by going to moviesruinmylife.com. Additionally, we're talking about doing a Leafs-themed podcast this year because we're all Torontonians and we've carried a lot of sadness in our hearts for the most of our majority of our adult lives, yes, and young lives. And Matt, we're going to probably kidnap you for that, throw you in my trunk and bring you down to Toronto. Additionally, Nick and I are currently in heavy production on a comic book show, which we've been yelling at each other about. So we're just going to put mics in front of the two of us and go to town. That's going to be called The Great Comic Book Debate, if I'm not mistaken. We should be starting to record that soon. I'm going to be stealing all of you guys. First couple episodes, we are going to be doing a tournament somewhat similar to stuff that you've heard on Mermel. So I'll kidnap as many of you as I can. And the ones that I can't fit in the trunk of my car, Nick can fit in his more spacey trunk. You can find me on Twitter at NotBrandonFleet, also on Instagram, again, at NotBrandonFleet. You can find the show at Movies Ruin My Life, at Mermel Podcast on Twitter, and moviesruinmylife.com. And remember to subscribe to the show on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, everywhere the podcasts are heard. And if we're not there, let us know and we'll get there for you. And I think that's about it. Yes? So thanks for hanging out with us. How you mentioned the baby making part, that was exceptional for me.
A lot of hard work, eh?